You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I feel like post Bruins like overtime win right now, where all the adrenaline spiked, and now I'm just like, oh Jesus Christ, I don't even know where to go from here.
Yeah, if only hockey had a once every 4 years event where teams could represent their countries, and it just doesn't happen anymore.
Oh, the U.S. won.
Yes.
Cool. Neat. Yeah. Shout out to Kristen Pulisic for putting the sack in sacrifice, by the way. I had to appreciate that one, but...
I feel like my hair looks good.
Uh-huh.
No.
Attack on me.
Rare W.
Perhaps myself. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are cracking a beer of celebration today, at least here in the United States. After 8 long years, our baby Eagles are through the group stage of the 2022, had to check the year, Men's World Cup, doing what only our women have been able to do anytime recently. What was that, Chris?
Can someone fill me in on the baby Eagles thing?
It's just because they're very young. Okay. Like our average age is like 22. So, and you know, the U.S. actually, we'll have to get Drew on here to read you the Wikipedia page of Bald Eagles, because I'm sure there's some good stuff in there. But anyway, this is the Bruins and Bruins podcast, Day of the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards and Pride Diehards. Yeah, good day for any Bruins American sports fans between the U.S. qualifying for the round of 16. And obviously the Bruins defeating Tampa Bay for the second time in, I think, 8 days, so just over a week, and extending their NHL record home winning streak to start a season at 13 games now and still counting. This is going to be tough to start podcasting because there's just really nothing bad you can say about this team here right now. But for now, we'll just get around into the drinks. I am drinking a very special, my dad gave me this glass, perhaps you saw it on Twitter earlier, from the 2014 World Cup, not actually from the World Cup, but large Erdinger. I don't know if that's how you say it. Is it Erdinger? Erdinger? I've never had this actually, the actual beer. But anyway, it's a pretty dope glass with a large soccer ball on the top. Feels fitting to today. What about this looks like?
Oh, like along the top, there's just like butt cheeks all the way around it.
Butt cheeks all the way around it. I'm not sure I'm seeing it, but you know what? I appreciate the creativity, Cat.
It's baked into the glass.
Yes.
It's really putting the ass in glass.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have one without the other. Anyway, what are y'all drinking over there tonight?
Oh, shouts to Catherine for this one. We were in the grocery store just doing some pre-Thanksgiving shopping. And Kat found Happy Dad Hard Seltzer with electrolytes. So, I mean, first of all, great name. You gotta love the name. Second of all, had a few of these around the Thanksgiving times, and they were pretty delicious. So, we're giving it a go here on the pod. 5%. Just a pretty flavorful for a seltzer. I've got the watermelon one right here.
It is gluten-free.
Yes. Drew, who is not here. Yeah, tasteability, I'm going pretty high with it for a seltzer, like 26. And then drinkability, I haven't really pounded these, but I feel like they're, you know, for a seltzer, pretty drinkable. I'd say drinkability, it's maybe not as heavily carbonated as a seltzer as I'm used to. So yeah, drinkability high, like 31.
Chris has the watermelon. I have the wild cherry. Don't think I'd put the drinkability quite that high because it's pretty carbonated. I'm not a very notably not a seltzer person.
Same.
So I think it tastes fine. The cherry flavor is not overly sweet. I'd put drinkability at like a, I don't know, 16. Tasteability. I mean, I don't have a ton to base it off of. I think the last time I had a White Claw was like two summers ago and it wasn't my choice. So I think it tastes pretty watery, but I think that's what all seltzers taste like. So I'd say probably like a 20 in the tasteability department too.
Call me a happy dad. I am pleasantly surprised with it.
Which, the drinker though?
Yeah, just the beverage in general.
Yes.
I'm also not a seltzer guy.
Otherwise, we'd be doing seltzer and seltzers, but we're hockey and beer people here. Although, shout out to my Maryland Terrapins basketball team. But anyway, I am drinking. I don't know if I had this on last week. I don't think so. I think I bought this for something else. But Baxter Coastal Haze IPA, 5.9%, a classic hazy New England style IPA. I mean, this is just a really good go-to beer. They have it at a lot of the bars around here, obviously being a main locally crafted beer and stuff. But if you see it on a menu anytime, I would definitely recommend ordering it. It's got a whole long description about Maine stuff, but it says it's carefully crafted with bright citrus aroma to honor the spirit of adventure and the ruggedness of our distinct state. There you go. Sounds pretty cool. Good beer, though. Not overly hoppy. It's got a nice kind of sweeter citrusiness to it. It's definitely not like a sweet beer by any means, but it's got, you know, a less aggressive hops to it and very well-rounded. Also just a great beer color. I don't know if you guys can really see in the light, but it's good stuff. Drinkability. Pretty high for an IPA. Probably like a 30. Definitely smooth. Goes really well with kind of any food. I get at a lot of restaurants when I'm eating. Doesn't feel like it's fighting with the food you're on. Tasteability, definitely up there as well. I'm going to give it a 33. Very solid beer. Even better out of a large themed glass like this, of course. I think good glasses make beer taste better, you know? Especially tall glasses. Those large pint ones. Anyway, I don't know about you guys. I'm just feeling relieved. It's a stressful day for myself and soccer fans across the U.S., and obviously I know this is a hockey podcast, but it had me thinking a lot about the Bruins today because I would say sitting watching the game, but pacing around the living room, watching the game unfold and knowing that at any moment Iran could strike and shatter my dreams from the last 8 years. It was a stressful situation. And I just kept going back to thinking like the only time that I'm acting this way is during Bruins playoff games and pretty deep. Like I was in full Stanley Cup final mode screaming at my television. It was 2:30 PM. So I'm sure my neighbors were thrilled about that. But yeah, I just could not sit down the entire day. It felt like I was just like absolutely locked into that. And that really only happens, I feel like, with playoff hockey and you know, obviously the World Cup being as rare as it is, got the adrenaline flowing, but I feel like post Bruins like overtime win right now, where all the adrenaline spiked, and now I'm just like, oh Jesus Christ, I don't even know where to go from here.
If only hockey had a once every 4 years event where teams could represent their countries, and it just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
I didn't watch this game because I was at work, but I did get to hear the reactions of people in the break room watching it. And so I knew when the goal was scored, and I quickly looked it up on Twitter. And
oh, the U.S. won.
Yes.
Cool. Neat. Yeah. Shout out to Kristen Pulisic for putting the sack in sacrifice, by the way. I had to appreciate that one, but... I don't know. Apparently, once the Bruins playoff starts, I'm going to have to jump on work calls all the time, because both of the goals that the U.S. scored through the group stage were while I was on work calls. Superstition and all that. I have to keep that one rolling. But anyway, let's turn it over to the Bruins. That's what we're here to talk about. A little bit of chatter coming into the game about the Bees finally being healthy, or their healthy ideal roster going into this one with Forbert and Trent, Fred, and Eric all making their return. What did you guys see after, a lot of talk about the Bruins with injuries coming into the season? Obviously, that has shifted into the Bruins just being a wagon anyway. But now they're a fully pieced together wagon, if you will, and another strong bend don't break performance and putting that final nail in the coffin with the empty netter. But what sat with you about that game?
So the interesting move was, with the fully healthy roster, having that third line with Taylor Hall on it. Obviously, guys scored two goals. I believe it was one of them on the power play, or were they both on the power play?
I think it was just the one.
Okay.
Either way, score.
Clearly, he's not suffering for it. This isn't being framed as a demotion in any way. Like, he's been playing well this season. For me, this is kind of Montgomery trying to recreate the HBK line from Pittsburgh by having Phil Kessel down on the third line. Kind of a similar type player, maybe plays a little better defense than Phil did, but I think the rest of the line plays the rest of the Bruins line isn't quite as strong defensively as the rest of that HBK line was. But I like how the lineup looks. Obviously, people on Twitter were freaking out saying, all right, the Bruins team absolutely hot, but they're about to hit a buzzsaw of a schedule. Beating Tampa twice, pretty good stuff. Not mad about that. Obviously, you're going to get tested against the Habs on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. But you got to feel good about it. And as always happens with Boston sports, people are saying, well, yeah, don't get used to it. It's going to all come crumbling down. But these wins count just as much as they do late in the season. And so getting out ahead of it, getting all your points early in the season, I don't want the team to be coasting going into the playoffs or anything like that. But, there were plenty of talks about the Bruins not even making the playoffs this year, considering how injured they were going into the season. And kind of seems like as long as they hold serve, they're going to coast.
I think it, not to say that people on Twitter don't watch the games or know what they're talking about or anything like that, but I feel like usually when there's this hesitation to buy in when a team's sort of steamrolling like the Bruins are, it's because the wins don't look deserved. Because we've seen that. We've seen teams that start off a season looking really hot or have like a massive win streak. When have the Sabres ever been good to start the season? like the Coyotes at one point 2 years ago, like had a big hot streak where they like won a bunch of games in a row. And the Devils had a period where they were doing that, where they were winning a bunch of games and just like not looking like they should have been winning them, and either their goaltenders were standing on their heads or they were getting a lot of lucky goals or they had players with shooting percentages that were just sky high. And that's kind of not what we're seeing from the Bruins right now. Even like whether it's easy or hard teams, they're looking solid, like they're looking like the better team in every game they're playing. And they're having a few games here and there where they're just not showing up for a full 60 minutes. But I haven't seen them play any game so far this year where I thought, oh, if they win this one, it's certainly not going to be because they deserved it. They've looked like a team that is putting in the effort to get the wins the entire time. And I think that anyone who looks at the start of their season and is still nervous moving forward, I don't know what they're watching.
Yeah, that's the thing for me is like I feel like there's been plenty of times, even with the Bruins or whoever, you see a team rolling and you're like, oh, they've been rolling despite this. Or like, you know, even back to 2011, the cup run, it was like they were rolling despite the power play. Like, there's really nothing that's standing out as like there's a clear gap. You look at guys like Derek Forbert and stuff who, you know, obviously not Charlie McAvoy in terms of value on the team. You're never sure he's going to fit in, especially with the new coach, new system, has taken some criticism over the last couple of years, whatever. He's been great. Like, you can't point to really any player on this roster so far and be like, oh, that's an obvious soft spot right now. And that's so rare for a team to be. I mean, again, I know we're not that far into the season, but we've got a 22-game sample size at this point. That's significant. And, you know, guys are putting together stretches that we haven't seen out of them in careers, really. And obviously it's been a top-to-bottom performance, which has been huge for the Bruins. That's been something that's been lacking over the last couple of years and really for a while, quite frankly, is having that depth. And to see that continue to work over such a long period here has been really encouraging, I think, so far.
We're at the point where, I mean, heading into the Thanksgiving break is usually the litmus test. I forget who did all the calculations a few years ago, but there, once you hit the Thanksgiving break, if you're just like drastically far behind at that point, the record of coming back and doing well is almost none. And if you're doing historically well at that point, I think the only team that's really been sitting as pretty as the Bruins are around that point and then just absolutely taken a nosedive off a cliff was, I think, the Toronto Maple Leafs did it a few years back.
No.
I know, shocker. But it's like we're over a quarter of the way through the season now, and that's not quite to the point where they should coast, obviously, but they can, they can afford to have a few stinkers here and there and still be like leagues ahead of almost everyone else.
It's really funny though. Like, I'm glad you mentioned it again, but like we've been talking about it over the last few episodes, like you can't really pinpoint anyone who's playing poorly. Like you can't, Fred Eric, that guy sucks. No, he's been really good.
Yeah. Only Fred.
But the, yeah.
At least two thirds of it's been solid. Eric's been a little sus lately, but it's all right. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, in every hockey season, every single player on every single team is going to have a cold streak at some point. And obviously it depends on what type of player it is. Like, guys like Brad Marchand aren't going to have as long a cold streak as guys like Nick Foligno. Or last season, Nick Foligno seemed like he was having a cold streak the whole season. So it's really cool to see a guy like him who has really ingratiated himself to the team and the fans have a real hot start, then have a few games where it seemed like, okay, this might be a fluke, and then come back and really just kind of nail down, like, I'm here to stay. Like, this is the kind of game I'm going to play this year. And I think, you know, by not scoring at 5-on-5 last year, he really kind of ushered himself off of those power play units. And being able to make his stamp on the power play this year has been really big because, you know, as much as we make fun of teams for signing those guys for big contracts, for big bodies, it does really help having a guy who can wedge himself in front of the net on those power plays. And it draws attention away from Bergeron in the slot. Like, he's been really good at, you know, controlling the puck after batting it down and stuff. I mean, we made fun of Nick Ritchie for a while, but he was that kind of player, and it worked for a hot second at the beginning of the year, a couple of years ago. And it is an important piece, and it's cool to see that continuing to work.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned kind of the playoff of Bergeron there, because the Bruins power play has really worked through that high bumper with him for a while now, and that only works if he has the space to make that. And granted, he doesn't need much time because he's elite, but to be able to make either that immediate pass or the turn and shoot, you can't do that if you're getting clogged up in the middle, which is obviously what the penalty killers are trying to do. So creating that extra bit of space, even if it's just a foot or two of separation and stepping at the right time, can be a difference maker for scoring, and we've seen that already this season. But and just kind of to your earlier point too, like I know obviously it does sound kind of silly about us getting worried about them coasting into the playoffs 22 games in, but there are going to be, you know, those people. I just don't feel like, you know, we find all of these excuses to like talk down win streaks and stuff, but there really just is no reason to do that. I think in this case, like it's early enough in the season that, like Chris said, the points still matter just as much, but you know, there's no reason to talk down a team that's playing this well, that, you know, and get overthinking about things like that. And you know, obviously these types of runs don't last forever. I'm sure they're not going to be winning 19 out of 22 games all season. If they do, that'd be fucking crazy. But you know, being able to kind of hold on to that early season momentum for as long as you can, so that if you do hit a 5-game skid later on this season, it's not the difference between, you know, first place, second place, third place, wild card, that kind of thing. While the team is hot, while they're healthy, while everybody's rolling, you need to really make sure you're just grabbing as many points as they can. And obviously they've been doing that so far. So very, very promising stuff. And I also just think that the record they have at the Garden obviously has been so impressive so far. And obviously, you know, we're still getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but that's something you just want to build on throughout the course of the season, and really try to make it feel like a fortress, even if it's just kind of building the energy with the fans and stuff. I feel like we've heard Connor Ryan talked about it when he was on a couple weeks ago, just how much louder the building's been and that sort of thing, and just creating that kind of fortress atmosphere so that when the playoffs come, and hopefully if they keep playing like this, it'd be grabbing the home ice advantage, that you know, really works to your advantage when the springtime comes around, you're playing meaningful playoff games. So I think just trying to build, you know, momentum at home especially is massive going over the next few months. And if you can position yourself well to not only get home ice advantage, but really make it count, that could be big.
Yeah, I love that.
NBA fans, the NBA action is just getting started, and so are the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA pregame moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out right now. Everyone can earn up to 100% boosts with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, total points scored, and more. With bigger payouts than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where we go to bet on the NBA. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Anybody got anything else? I don't know. This team's too good.
I just wanted to mention that David Krejci extended his point streak tonight.
Upon this rock, we are... Are we renovating the church at this point? I feel like we've probably built it.
He's at 6 games, 9 points, I think. Still 6 goals.
Yeah. Turns out Europe didn't slow him down too much. Yeah. Seems to be okay. It seemed like it was a nice vacation for him. It cleansed his pores a little bit, you know. Got some of that fresh Czechy air. It's good stuff. Yeah, all right. So I guess before we sign off here, just a quick look ahead. Obviously, the gauntlet coming up, Vegas and Colorado twice each in the span of less than 2 weeks. We're also off to Arizona. I don't know. How about you guys? I'm kind of excited to watch some Bruins hockey at the Mole. I know it's been catching a lot of strays for the past few months, but I will say I don't really love the camera angle. That part's not great. Other than that, I'm excited. I really wish I could go there. I feel like, for as much as people want to talk shit about the atmosphere, it's probably one of the best in the league right now. As far as, you know, being able to watch an NHL team in a college arena is awesome. It's going to have that smaller feel. And, you know, as long as the fans in there are into the game, it's probably an electric stadium, I'd imagine. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that really, but anyway, a couple of tough matches, coming up, and you know, this is going to be something of a test for the Bruins, but I mean, they just went through a heck of a test in Tampa and took care of that pretty well. So I'm not really sure where to set your expectations as far as, you know, a 5-game stretch against, you know, two of those three teams are potential Stanley Cup contenders again here. Also, obviously, the Bruce Cassidy storyline, it's going to be interesting. But I'm not really sure, obviously, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 points up for grabs over that week and a half stretch. I don't know where you what you expect out of this team right now. You know, it's very reasonable for them to go, you know, 2-3. Would not surprise me at all. But it's also like, I don't know, they're going to sweep house again. Who's to say? I don't know what to expect out of them.
If you get 5 points out of that, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, two of the games are at home, too. So you'd like to at least, you know, pick up some points there. But I don't think it's anything to read too much into either way based on what we've seen so far. So, yeah. All right. See you soon. Thanks for tuning in. Whatever Bye. You're doing, keep doing it. Keep eating the same cereal for breakfast because it seems to be working.
Yeah, whatever you're doing. Don't stop.
Yes. Don't stop believing either. Gordon.